Costello, the ROI guy.
Hi, this is April Morley.
And welcome to the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value-focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
Our mission is to help accelerate and optimize value articulation in each of your customer engagements and throughout the customer lifecycle. And to help us understand that a little bit better and talk about some of the challenges and successes is Matt Edwards. Hi, Matt.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining, Matt.
Yeah, Matt is the Chief Customer Officer at Defense Storm, and he's a longtime customer success leader. And we're really pleased to have him today to talk about, kind of the perspective that Chief Customer Officers have. As companies today are seeking better paths to profitability, there have definitely been, renewal shortfalls. And as a result, I think a lot of customer success groups, even though there's been a lot of investment in customer success, they're kind of under the gun lately. Matt, talk about some of what you're hearing out there.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I think that with post-COVID coming out of that and the, dearth of funding, we saw VC funding really take a big shift, right? Go from almost grow at all costs and pay for growth to now the fundamental business metrics are starting to be more prevalent with funding. So especially in the SaaS world, the cybersecurity world, right, we're seeing funding and therefore businesses change from, how can we just do as much as we can? How can we grow as fast as we can? How can we, solve that churn issue as fast and, kind of at all costs to now everything is under the lens of, is it worth it? Are we getting a good return on the investment for customer success? And we are seeing customer success groups wholesale be cut from different businesses and also significantly reduced. So I think the question out there right now is what can we do without customer success, right? We've had this department, but can we deal without it? I think that's a big question right now.
Yeah, we oftentimes think about value from the perspective of communicating value out to your customers, but sometimes you do need to justify the value of an organization internally as well. So when it comes to customer success, Matt, why do you think it's too valuable to be cut?
So actually going to be a little bit, it can be cut in some perspectives. So I actually talked on a podcast last summer in similar, I think it's a little controversial right now. I'm a customer success leader and I'm saying that we're not always necessary. But here's why. I think that customer success leaders should really embrace the question, what does customer success do? What is your value to the organization, right? Because it gives us as leaders chance to really justify what we do. I am a big believer in customer success being revenue driven, but that is not always the right solution for customer success at every company. Oftentimes it is a COGS organization, right? It's not revenue producing, but there still should be a very firm justification of the value that is delivering to the company, to its customers, right? And ultimately to the board and to the investors. So not being afraid of that question and really being sound and having the metrics and the evidence to back up why customer success is so important is something I think that every leader should strive for. Because if we think about it, every other organization also has to have that same value statement, right? There shouldn't be anything that is new to a business, and we should embrace that question.
Yeah. So the question, why is customer success too valuable to cut? It's may not be that. It's you've got to prove that customer success is too valuable to cut.
Yeah, I think that it is too valuable to be cut when it delivers on its promises, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to justify and make sure that you are actively delivering and measuring those promises. For instance, if you're revenue driving, are you delivering on the promise of the business to revenue? Are you delivering at an efficiency ratio that is appropriate for post sales and expansion? If you are not, right, what are the KPIs? I know that I have lots and lots of peers that talk about the CS lead, right? So the lead that CS generated, that's a great metric to track and show value, right? The sentiment and the referenceability of your customer base, that is amazing, right? Putting a number and value on that is a really, really important exercise, as opposed to saying, yes, customer success is valuable because we need to make sure that our customers are taken care of. Yes, right? But that's not the only way to do it. And we need to make sure that we're really clear on what we're delivering on as an organization.
Talk about QBRs, Matt. I know I've heard you say they're a pet peeve of yours sometimes. Talk about why that can be.
Sure. So I have a problem with the Q part. Business reviews are incredibly valuable, especially when you are in a very technical sale, right? Where your user is often very different than your buyer or your economic stakeholder. Right? So it gives you a chance to up-level that conversation to, again, you know, just like you're proving, you know, we talked about CS proving its value to its company where a CS exists. We also have to prove our company's value to our customers. So you start to be able to up-level that conversation, go over what you've done, agree on what a successful path forward is. And it also allows you to, I encourage every CSM to ask very frequently, you know, if you had to renew now, would you? Right? Have that very direct conversation with customers so you can get the hidden, you know, the unspoken word out in front, and you have time to then work on it and show that you can prove the value, even if you're a little off center right now with your customer.
That's such a great question, to ask the hard questions early. You talked about previously about a mutual contract that you have with your customer success engagements. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, I love using mutual contracts, both in the new business sale and also post sale as well. And that is that oftentimes, you know, especially I feel like in the startup and the software world, we get caught up in, you know, why we're working for the company we are. We are true believers, right, and what we're doing, what that value is. And we think that it's crazy that no one would want to do business with us because our value is so, so strong. Right? That's why we're working for that company, right? But that is very, you know, S-focused, being self-focused. And I love to use the mutual contracts to really think through that in an O-focused way, so in an others-focused way, to get the customer's words and their agreement on what are we trying to accomplish here together, right? So it's a partnership that you're developing as opposed to a vendor relationship where the customer buys something, you deliver it, and you move on, right? So it allows you to shift that perspective and jointly agree on a partnership going forward. And going back to the value of customer success, right? One of the big values of customer success across all different disciplines and companies is the relationship that you build with the customer through that personal interaction. And that's another place for you to, again, break down those business values, those hard metrics, and put it into a more personal, mutually agreed upon success path forward.
Quantifying is important. And, you know, being the ROI guy, I might take offense at this, but it seems like ROI itself can be a dirty word in customer success. Talk about your beliefs there, and we'll share some of ours too.
Yeah, I agree. It could be a dirty word. It shouldn't be, realistically, right? We want to be able to justify the hard numbers, right? And it really depends on who you're talking to. If you're on a business review and you're talking to a CFO, you better believe that they're going to be there wanting to understand the hard numbers, right? We're spending this amount. What are we getting for value? There's also, to me, there's the anecdotal ROI. There's the, you know, the emotional ROI of the relationship and how much you trust, you know, the partnership, right? There's that level that you work on, especially in customer success, right? To build that trust. That is ROI as well, right? I mean, people don't always just buy because they get the, you know, the best CFO lens of dollar per value, right? Value is much, much more than just that hard dollar. And so I approach an ROI, you know, discussion in both the dollar perspective as well as many, many other perspectives that again, goes back to that mutual agreed contract. Like, what is your customer looking at? Where do they want to get ROI? And that depends.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a lot of great responses from customers and anecdotal evidence like quotes or, you know, personal success stories. It really pulls at the heartstrings. You know, so we've seen that qualitative is important, quantitative is important. A lot of times there's a challenge in getting to quantitative, but we found that it's so important in this economic environment. So why do you think it's such a challenge?
I think it's a challenge because oftentimes there's just a pure lack of data. You know, there's a principle that I always like to talk about in that if you don't start measuring it, right, you'll never know where you are. We often, you know, again, want to believe that we are doing something correctly, but when we really try to quantify it, put it into a metric trackable form, it's really difficult. It's not always this easy exercise, right? There are some things that are very easy to quantify, like profit and loss, right? But how do you quantify that relationship, you know, that you have with your customer? How do you quantify, you know, the value of being able to, you know, respond in a timely manner? Like, how much weight does that really carry? Those are not easy metrics, but again, going back to, if you don't measure it, you don't attempt to put a number on it and be open to, quite frankly, I think this is also a reason why we don't want to measure, is we may not want to know what the answer is, right, when we start measuring it. But if you don't start someplace, if you don't start that measurement process, you can't improve. And so even though it's really hard, and especially from a CS leader perspective, I've come into organizations before where there is an idea of the value, but when you really start putting numbers on it, it may be scary. And you may be thinking that I'm kind of working myself out of my own job here by saying how little value I'm actually producing right now. So you have to be in an environment where your leadership and your peers, you know, will allow you to work through that process to start someplace, even if it's not the best place to start, right? And then move towards success. Otherwise, you're at the whim of, you know, something that is not hard evidence, where you don't have that evidence. And so going back all the way to where we started, this is one of those things where when CS leaders don't have that hard data behind, it's very easy to say, well, I really don't have any data behind what CS is doing. I feel that they're helping, but let's try and see what happens if they're not here, right? And you really want to avoid that, obviously.
Yeah. Matt, I think one of the important things is putting a framework together for the quantification so that customer success knows here are the common value proof points and outcomes that customers can achieve. And we see a lot of organizations leave it kind of up to the CS group individuals themselves to negotiate with the customer what the realized value is when the customer doesn't know. And the customer success rep often might have some experience to know a couple of metrics, but I think having a true framework for quantifiability is important, correct?
Absolutely. A framework is incredibly important, and a framework that is understandable,
yes,
you know, to the audience that you are working with, whether it be your customers, whether it be internally to your CEO or your board. Absolutely. Frameworks are super important, but they can't be so complex or, you know, in a different context or framework that your audience doesn't understand.
Yeah. We found that customer success and customers themselves don't want to, and maybe can't, get as detailed as maybe a pre-sale business case that was put together that has to go into exhaustive detail, because you know it's going up to the CFO if it's above a certain clip level today, 50K, 75K proposal. We went in the beginning thinking, oh, it's got to be exhaustive. And in fact, why don't we use the pre-sale case and then just put the numbers in for the post-sale and match them up? Good goal, but very few customers were wanting to have it performed at that level. Like you said, there may be that CFO audience that does, but most customers not. Any experience there or advice?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, again, you have to adapt to your audience and you have to ask, right? To me, the framework is developed through trial and error, right? And you want to understand, you have to start from someplace, again, just like the data piece, and then you work with your customers. The reason it's, I think, going back to why the framework for pre-sales doesn't always work with, you know, post-sales is the same reason why customers buy for certain reasons and they don't always renew for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. Right? There's just a different set of expectations and desires when you have already committed to a partnership or a vendor relationship. And so you're right. It doesn't have to always get into the dollars and cents and that hard justification in the true sense of like an ROI that we traditionally think about. But it does have to tie back to value, which is kind of on the topic that we're talking about and you guys specialize in, is that, you know, everything really has to tie back to the customer's perceived value. And so you create a framework around identifying and quantifying that.
Such helpful insights, Matt. What is the one piece of advice you'd like to leave the Enterprise Value Collective with today?
Yeah, I think it's right back to the start. Don't be afraid of the hard question, right? When you see your peers, the CS group getting let go, or, you know, you have an objective coming down from your board saying, right, I really need you to justify your existence here as an organization, don't be afraid of that. Like, that is an amazing place and foundation for you to demonstrate the amazing value that CS organizations bring to companies.
Yeah. Great insight, Matt. Thank you. I love the question, if you had to renew today, would you? And getting uncomfortable with asking uncomfortable questions or questions where the answer might be uncomfortable, I think is something that we've got to embed in the mindset of customer success.
I agree.
Awesome. Please sign up for the Enterprise Value Collective on LinkedIn on a geniusdrive.com website if you haven't done so yet. This way you can stay in touch with us on the latest events, tools, and insights. If you like this episode, hit the like button, subscribe so you get notified when the latest episodes are posted. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing together.